It's 12:07, and you're tuned to Midday Matters right here on 89.1 FM. Thanks very much for being with us for this Tuesday edition of our program. I'm your host, Sean Beter. And of course, because it's Tuesday, guess who's here? It's Susan Burns.
It's me again.
Good afternoon, Susan.
Good afternoon, Sean. We've got another one of those beautiful days. I see that all the leaves, though, are turning colors, and it seems a little early.
A little early, but I'm always up for a good show.
Oh, yeah. It's like a visual party out there.
So. That's right.
And as you're driving on those roads, that brings us to our topic for today.
That was a very good segue. Thank you. Yep, today's topic on Midday Matters Financial Focus is, of course, logistics. The business of getting everything from here to there.
Yeah.
Of course, it's a big business across the United States. And as we mentioned in the billboard, we in Indiana, we're the crossroads of America here.
We are. And it's logistics. You know, we've over the years, as we've been looking to how to build our Northeast Indiana economy, we've talked about biomedical, and we've talked about engineering, and logistics is another one of those key pieces.
It seems like on many of our programs, when we talk with local leaders, there is a lot of talk about positioning us as a center of logistics in our region and in the state. So that's where we're headed today. And of course, we do want to hear from you if you're involved in this business, or maybe you just have a question or comment. Give us a call. The number is 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. And perhaps you're driving through the area today.
Yeah.
You want to reach us toll free. That number is 1-800-471-9264.
It is. And I think we've said the name logistics often enough, but let's introduce the expert who's going to explain it to us.
That's right. Joining us on the phone, it's David Holt from Kinexus, Indiana. David, thanks very much for joining us on Midday Matters today.
Hey, very glad to be here, Sean.
Now, if you could, we've been using this term so far in this show, logistics, but it's not really one thing or the other. It's a broad business. There's a lot involved in the business of getting things, as we said, from here to there.
Right. I mean, we define it as the management of the flow of products, information, and resources from the origins of consumption. So what that basically means is from when it's produced until it gets into the hands of the consumer. So when you get your cell phone, it's who produces it, how you then get it from that production facility all the way till you're, you know, using the cell phone and talking on it that day that you get your cell phone.
And we mentioned you're part of Kinexus Indiana. Can you tell us a little bit about what Kinexus Indiana does?
Yeah, we're a not-for-profit entity. I'd like to call us we're an asset developer or a think tank. What we do is we look at what are the key things that Indiana does well in the logistics industry, and then we try to work to better develop those things that we're strong in. And those things we're weak in, we try to develop public partnerships with the public arena, or we try to get the private sector to then push towards trying to implement things that we need that we don't currently have for the logistics industry.
And how long has Kinexus Indiana been around?
Kinexus Indiana was formed in June or July of 2007.
Okay, a relatively new entity here. Looking at the state of our logistics industry today, where do you see us? How are we positioned? Pretty well.
How Indiana's positioned? Well,
we can talk about both. Let's start with the state of Indiana.
Yeah, well, let's start with the state. It's about 3.9% of our GDP, and that's based on 2008 numbers. It employs about 325,000 people, and that includes the people who some of the manufacturers still do their own logistics, or it's just the logistics providers themselves. Indiana's infrastructure is very interesting. We're first in interstate access with 14 interstate highways. We're first in pass-through interstates. We're 12th in interstate highway miles. We're ninth in rail miles with 4,446 miles. We've got four intermodal rail facilities. We're the second largest FedEx hub in the world. That's in Indianapolis. We got a strong network of airport facilities like the Fort Wayne Airport. We got four of the top 125 air cargo airports serving Indiana, which includes Fort Wayne. We got three public ports, which a lot of people don't view us as a water-bearing organization, but Indiana really is the major port on the Great Lakes. And we've got two on the Ohio River and one on Lake Michigan, and then we have a lot of private ports. Indiana is about 75% of the U.S. and Canadian populations are within a day's truck drive from Indiana. We're one of the few states that has a trade surplus, and we're definitely a leader in what in exports and imports of important commodities: coal, iron, steel products, grains, food products, and scrap metal. So you've got like Omnisource up there in Fort Wayne, which they're a major scrap metal dealer.
It sounds like, in general, anyway. I mean, we have the resources to exploit and develop this business further.
Oh, absolutely, and this business is increasing. At least statewide, we think it's about 10 to 12% that we've predicted that there's going to be growth in this particular industry over the next 5 years. And these jobs, if you work at one of these distribution facilities, they actually pay on average 15% more than the average private sector job. So they're good jobs. We want them coming to Indiana, and we love having them here in Indiana.
Let's bring it home then to Northeastern Indiana. We talked at the top of the show about it seems like more and more we're hearing our leaders talk about our position in this region, roughly in the middle of Cleveland and Detroit and Chicago and Indianapolis. They're really pushing hard to develop this industry in our region here even further.
Right. If you took a dot and you put it pretty much right in the middle of the country where it would be the epicenter, Fort Wayne is right there. That is a very key statistic that a lot of people don't know. So if you would sort of take the entire nation from top to bottom, Fort Wayne's right in the middle of it all. That's why I call it the epicenter of all that movement of products. You got a lot of key logistics firms in that area. You got Five Star Distributing in Columbia City. They're the major, beer distributor. You've got Burke's Construction that designs and builds a lot of the roads up in the Fort Wayne area. You've got the Fort Wayne Airport. You have Serva there in Fort Wayne, which, is one of the major movers nationally. You got a Super Value Distribution Center in that region. You got Triple Crown, which is, a rail provider that's partly owned by Norfolk Southern Railroad. And then you got Omnisource, as I talked about earlier, that's a major mover of scrap metals. So you've got a lot of key players already in that region that make you strong. I think some of your advantages, that help the economic development of that area, you're centrally located in the Great Lakes region. You've got really convenient access to major Midwest markets. You're about 2 hours from Indy. You're about 3 hours to Chicago, Detroit, Columbus, and Cincinnati. Fort Wayne's the second largest city in Indiana, as you know, while the Northeast region itself has a population of about 700,000. You're served by two major interstates. You got I-69, and then you got I-80 and 90, which is up by the toll road. Mm-hmm. You've got two Class 1 freight railroads. You got CSX and Norfolk Southern that go through Fort Wayne. You've got the Fort Wayne International Airport that has four major carriers. You've got a newly expanded foreign trade zone that serves eight counties in Northeast Indiana, which helps really with offering duties and exemptions and payment deferrals for many businesses that are engaged in importing and exporting internationally. And then obviously I talked a little bit about that you're a headquarters to Triple Crown, which is an affiliate of Norfolk Southern that offers, some bimodal transportation production.
We're talking logistics today with David Holt, Vice President of Operations and Business Development at Kinexus Indiana. And we want to hear from you, our listeners, today. If you have a question or comment for David Holt, give us a call. Let us know. Join the conversation at 260-452-1185. You can always call us toll-free, of course, 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's @middaymatters.
Indeed. And David, what are some of the big challenges you see right now? I'm driving by the gas station. That one leaps to mind.
Well, gas prices obviously are always a challenge, but that's not just for Indiana. I mean, that's a national issue. And there are things that I believe that could be done on a policy arena that could lower gas prices, but that's really, for the politicians to decide in Washington. I think some of the other challenges that, Indiana providers have, and specifically in your area, is that you got limited intermodal rail service. A lot of the railroads go through Indiana, but they don't stop in Indiana and provide value. We do very well with what I call multimodal distribution. That is the large commodity. So we do have trains that come in and stop for grains and those scrap metals that I talked about and moving steel. But intermodal connectivity from the West Coast is a huge weak point for Indiana. And it costs Indiana carriers between $500 and $1,500 more to go pick up intermodal boxes from Chicago. So if we could get, better intermodal connectivity into the state, that would be very beneficial to the businesses in Northeast Indiana. I think the second challenge that I see is you've got a great airport up there in Fort Wayne, and they have really good, runway capacity because, it's the former military going in and out of there. Mm-hmm. You could really do some major international freight movement. But in essence, a lot of the anything that's overnight pretty much goes out of the FedEx facility in Indianapolis or goes out of the UPS facility down in Louisville. Mm-hmm. But anything that needs to fly that's 4 or 5 nights, all that, most of that cargo doesn't go out of Fort Wayne now or out of Indianapolis or out of Louisville. That goes out of Chicago in the belly cargo of domestic passenger flights. So how do we get our companies to work together to identify what their volumes are and try to get them to keep that freight business in Fort Wayne flying out of the Fort Wayne airport? That is a challenge that we really need to try to face and to try to build, because it's an underutilized facility, better utilize it. Both of these things, by us going to Chicago, cost Indiana companies millions of dollars in extra money, delays, bottlenecks, everything else you can think of by having to use the Chicago market instead of us going straight out of Fort Wayne.
We're going to take a quick break here. We'll continue the discussion on logistics with David Holt when we come back. And as we mentioned just a few minutes ago, we want to hear from you today. If you have a question or comment, perhaps you work in the industry, give us a call and let us know your thoughts about where we're headed as a state. 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. We are @middaymatters. Stay with us. We'll keep the conversation going when we come back.
You've got dinner table discussion, water cooler chat, even pillow talk, but how often are you part of the national conversation? I'm Neil Conan. Raise your voice on everything from the news of the day to the twists and turns of culture and history on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
My name is Katie Pruitt, and I like public radio. I like Diane Rehm because she tells guests to hush when they start to talk over each other. I like This American Life because, well, it's This American Life. But most of all, I like Fun Drive. It's a unique, unintentionally behind-the-scenes peek into WBOI. It reminds me that the thing I love, public radio, is happening just 10 minutes from my house. WBOI's Fall Fun Drive starts October 13th. Pledge early at nipr.fm, and thank you.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Lake City Bank, offering a wide range of financial investment and trust services for individuals, businesses, and not-for-profit organizations through the Lake City Bank Wealth Advisory Group. More information available at lakecitybank.com. Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Lutheran Hospital, providing procedures for heart failure patients that keep their treatment in Fort Wayne, close to home. Information at lutheranhealth.net.
1222, and you're tuned to Midday Matters here on 89.1 FM WBOI Fort Wayne. This is the Financial Focus edition of our program, and during this hour, we're talking about logistics, getting things from point A to point B, and the big business that's becoming in our state. Yeah. We do want to hear from you today, of course. If you have a question or comment, give us a call. The number is 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters at nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet at Midday Matters. And we've got a whole lot more questions for David Holt from Kinexis, Indiana here. First, though, it looks like we have a caller on the line, so let's open up the phone. So let's go to Greg on line two. Greg, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Yeah, good afternoon. Just have a quick question for David Holt. Earlier in the interview, he was talking about how Kinexis works with public partnerships, among others, and I wonder if he could elaborate on what he means by public partnerships.
Sure, be happy to. A public partnership really is bringing the private sector together with the public sector to try to provide solutions to things that only the public sector basically are in charge of. And I'll give you an example. Most of our roads, obviously, are paid for and are taken care of by the public sector. So in essence, we work with a lot of the private sector providers to figure out how can we get them involved in the process. And I'll get to tell you, Fort Wayne is a perfect example where one of the hospitals up there wanted to have a better connection to I-69. So they collaborated with the Indiana Department of Transportation, which that's a public-private, collaboration, to try to make sure that so they were willing to fund a portion of a road that would connect to I-69. Part of that was paid for by the state, and part of that was paid for by the hospital, and in essence, that is a public-private partnership.
Right, I understand. Also, with regard to public partnership, I believe you have some connection with educational partnerships. Is that true?
Absolutely. We partner with a lot of the high schools. We bring the private sector. We have what's called A-plus partners. And that is a lot of the logistics companies and advanced manufacturing companies, because our initiative really is both advanced manufacturing and logistics. We hook them up with schools so they can go in and talk about how important advanced manufacturing is to logistics is to our kids. So they go into the schools, they talk about it, they arrange tours to come through their facilities, they talk about what are the key things that kids need to learn. And from that, we've also developed what we call higher technology curriculum, and we're offering a pilot program in 8 schools across the state. 2 of them are up in the Northeast Indiana region, and it's a curriculum that while you're in, say, Core 40, and you're in the Technical Honors program, you can take this logistics program to start getting up to speed on the things that you would need to know in order to maybe get a certification when you graduate from high school, or to go on and get an associate's degree in logistics. So what we're trying to do is provide them the knowledge and the want and see how great these kind of careers are to get them caught earlier in their lives so they'll say, wow, these are the kind of things that I want to do in the future.
And David, that's spelled H-I-R-E, right?
H-I-R-E in big capitals, higher technology curriculum, yes.
Very good. Thanks very much for your answer.
All right. Greg, thanks very much for your call. Some great questions. And of course, we do want more of our listeners to join in the conversation today. Do give us a call. The number is 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters at nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet at Midday Matters.
Yes, indeed. And David, to kind of pick up on a topic that you raised just before the break, in terms of the airport, you mentioned getting a handle on the inventory so that we might shift some of that transportation to the Fort Wayne Airport instead of Chicago.
Right.
Talk a little more about how we might go about getting that handle on the inventory.
Well, Kinexis worked with Indiana Economic Development Corporation, and we sent a letter to all the key, basically, manufacturing executives that do a lot of air freight. And the things that usually go, via air are usually electronics, medical devices, pharmaceuticals, things that have to, that are very small, that have to be someplace in a very, small amount of time. Some of the parts in the auto industry sometimes have to be flown in order to meet, just-in-time inventory. But in essence, it's those things that have to fly on a regular basis. So we sent out a letter to those kind of companies saying, please give us your import and export data. We will keep it confidential. We will even sign confidentiality agreements. And once we get that volume data from them, that we know where their flights are going to and coming from, right now I think we have 15 companies statewide who have given us their data. We probably need to get to 35 or 40 to have any kind of impact. Of those 15, I'd say probably about 10 of them are from central Indiana. Right now, we know that we are about three-fourths of a way to getting to having enough volume for a flight to Germany. So if I find one or two more companies, I will then pull those four or five companies together, say, the four of you together have a similar schedule, flight schedule. The four of you have enough volume to put onto one airplane to and from Germany. Right now, you all use different freight forwarders who send you out of Chicago because, I got to be very honest, most of the freight forwarders' investments and most of their contacts are in Chicago. So they want to keep that in Chicago. So what we would do then is pull the companies in. They don't know each other exists. They get into a room. They basically say, absolutely, this will save us a lot of money not going to Chicago. Then they pull their freight forwarders into the room and force their freight forwarders to say, okay, we want one flight going to and from Fort Wayne. That's the kind of things that we need to get. The problem of it is you got to get to the CEO level person in order to say, absolutely, we will provide you this data, and then he tells his vice president of supply chain to provide it.
Yeah.
But a lot of times my contacts are with the vice president of supply chain. Well, I go to him, and 6 months later I'll get the data, but he has to then go up the chain. So it's more important a lot of times for those CEOs, and hopefully some of them are listening today, that will say, absolutely, I will give Kinexus this information because anytime I could help save my company money, I will do it.
Well, and that raises a good point because companies are often very, very protective of their data and that type of information. Have you run into a lot of walls trying to move this process forward?
You know what? Not once I sit down with the CEO and explain what we're doing, and they know that no one else sees that data besides us. And then if we're able to get, you know, the volume for a flight to and from some location, I would talk to that CEO first and say, hey, it looks like there's two or three other companies. Here are the two or three other companies, but I don't tell them what the other company's volume is, so I protect that, right?
Uh-huh.
Once I get the chance to sit down with them and explain to them, I've gotten pretty much every company to give me the data. Right now I've got Eli Lilly who's giving me their data. Roche Diagnostics, Darren Fishers, has given me their data.
Sure.
I've got data from a company down in Terre Haute that does a lot of stuff that they fly. So in essence, once I get to them, once I talk to them, once they see it, then I usually have no problems. It's actually getting to that CEO. And, of course, we're a very small shop. We only have, you know, 9 employees at Kinexus. And I hire a lot of grad students and everything else to do that. So a grad student can't go meet with a CEO most of the time and then say, hey, can you give me this data? So that means David Holt has to travel statewide, and I just don't have the capacity to get to as many people as I need to individually.
We're talking with David Holt, Vice President of Operations and Business Development at Kinexus Indiana. And the topic du jour, of course, is logistics in the state of Indiana. We want to hear from you if you're in the industry or if you just have a question or comment for David Holt. Give us a call and share your thoughts. 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall. Or you can always send us a tweet. It's @middaymatters. And of course, if you'd like to get a hold of us toll-free, the number, it's 1-800-471-9264.
Indeed. And David, I'm thinking back, we used to, there was a mayor up here who used to give examples of fresh fish and flowers as floral arrangements, as part of, you know, the sort of things you don't think of as benefiting from air freight.
Right.
But I'm just wondering, do we have agricultural products that might go along with the electronics and medical devices?
Yeah, most ag products don't fly. Most of them either go by some sort of cold storage rail car or a cold storage, you know, tractor trailer, you know, a semi-truck. And then I'm sure there are probably a few value items. And I'll give an example, lobsters. If you have an if you have an Ocean Air in Fort Wayne, Indiana, but a lot of that stuff still flies into Chicago. It doesn't fly into here. So what happens is the restaurant makes a deal with a particular company. So Ocean Air will fly that. They'll have the lobster freshly caught from Massachusetts put onto an airplane, brought to Chicago. They send cold storage trucks up to get it, and then they bring it into each of the markets. So that's kind of how it works now.
Okay.
That's very highly unusual, and it's really for very high value-added food products.
And I think that kind of leads us nicely into a breakdown of this transportation side of this business. Anyway, can you give us a better idea of how much of our logistics industry is trucking? How much is rail? How much is air freight? I mean, because you know we obviously use all of those services, but what's the foremost version? Is it trucking? Is it rail?
Well, I don't break it down by percentage of which one's the biggest and which one's the smallest.
Oh, okay.
I can tell you this: we don't break that data down in that kind of way. Trucking in Indiana per capita has the most trucking firms of any state in the union per capita. Now we're a small state, so when I say that, based on the population. In regard to air cargo, like I said, we're second largest FedEx hub in the world, behind the Memphis hub. The Memphis hub does most of the international flights for FedEx, and of course we do a lot of the domestic flights, but we do some international here in Indianapolis. And of course, you know, the people in Fort Wayne use that service down here. Obviously, you got Louisville down in the south part of the state, and they have the exact same kind of operation. That is the largest UPS hub in the world down in Louisville. So we do extremely well for what I call integrated freight. That stuff that flies, you know, overnight. It's the stuff that doesn't fly overnight where we've got the challenges. And then you got rail. Rail, like I said, the thing that's frustrating about rail for us is that we do extremely well for what I call that multimodal operation, which is, you know, ag products, grains, liquids, anything that's a large commodity. But where we struggle at is the intermodal, and we really, really need better intermodal access for the state. And we do have, the good thing about Indiana, we do have pretty much four Tier 1 railroads that come into the state. You've got CSX, Norfolk Southern. You have Canadian National and you have Canadian Pacific, and then we have some really good Tier 2 railroads, Rail America that goes into Fort Wayne. You've got Michigan City, the South Shore Railroad up in Michigan City. You've got the Indiana Railroad Company in Indianapolis, and then you have Indiana Louisville down in Jeffersonville, New Albany. So that's sort of our rail industry. And then our waterborne transportation, believe it or not, but we're like 14th or 15th in regard to waterborne shipping, and we have a lot of barge operations along the Ohio River and up at the Great Lakes.
Oh well, let's talk just a little bit more about that side of things, especially because you know I think you know the Crossroads of America, you know we aren't considered a port state, or people don't think of Indiana anyway as a state with a lot of ports and a lot of shipping on the water. But tell us a little bit more about where most of our business comes from, on the high seas, so to speak.
the high lakes, the high rivers.
Well, on the Great Lakes, it's open 9 months out of the year. There's 3 months, that you can't get into it because of the weather, and so they close it down for basically about 3 months for freight shipments. During those other 9 months, I mean, they do a lot of heavy type commodities that go into our ports. And when I say the port, that's the Burns Harbor port up by Portage, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a lot of private ports. So, like, some of the steel companies have their own port, ports right along like ArcelorMittal has its own port, right, that brings the steel directly into their facility and unloads it right there. Believe it or not, Indiana does more volume for waterborne shipping than Chicago does, or Illinois. And it's because of Burns Harbor. It's one of the largest ports. It is the largest port on the Great Lakes. And, if you're going to ship out scrap metal or whatever else, then, OmniSource might take their stuff up to the Great Lakes and ship it out or bring it in. Now, I think that OmniSource and Steel Dynamics send a lot of their steel actually via rail down to the Ohio River, down because they have an operation down in the down at the Jeffersonville port, and they ship it down there. They do some value added things to the steel, and then they put it onto the boat, and then they ship it basically down the Ohio River, which then goes into the Mississippi, all the way down to the New Orleans port, and then it's shipped out from that particular port facility. Most people have no idea that we do that, and you know, for agriculture in Indiana, our port system is absolutely vital. Mm-hmm. And we have a couple challenges with our water distribution. That there's two locks, one at the mouth of the Mississippi River that feeds from the Ohio River into the Mississippi. It's called Olmsted Lock. That lock is in jeopardy of catastrophic failure. What that means, that's an Army Corps of Engineers term who works on the locks. What that means is there's little holes in the lock, and it's slowly getting bigger and bigger, and eventually that lock will go down. If that lock would ever go down, and you know Keith Bussey and the guys from Steel Dynamics are sending their steel down, they would then have to either truck it or rail it from Jeffersonville, New Albany to Memphis, Tennessee, instead of sending it down the water. All of a sudden, it's going to cost them probably about 50% more, about 25% more if they do it via rail, and about 50% more if they do it by truck. All of a sudden, they're not competitive on the world market. That's how important those locks are. And then there's a lock in the northern north of Michigan. It's St. Salt Marie, and it's called the Sioux Lock. Once again, that lock is in jeopardy of catastrophic failure. 40% of all of our iron ore that comes into our steel mills comes from Minnesota and Wisconsin, and they come around Lake Superior and Lake Huron into Lake Michigan. And if that lock would go down, not a single barge would be able to then get into the Great Lakes from there or into Lake Michigan. Then we would have to truck or rail all of the iron ore through Chicago, which obviously you know you've seen the bottleneck mess up there for traffic, both for rail and for trucks. It would really increase the cost of iron ore to our steel mills, and once again, you'd see massive layoffs at our plants up there. So that's how important the shipping industry is to Indiana. Most people have no idea how much stuff that we actually, you know, especially we export a lot more than we import along the waterways.
We have to go to a break in just a moment here, David Holt, but and we'll talk more about economic realities in a few minutes. But you know, we've heard a lot this summer. Kind of the story of the summer really has been the drought situation that we've been facing here, and of course, much of the rest of the country has been facing as well. We heard of some significant shipping problems on the Mississippi. Was that affecting us on the Ohio as well?
Absolutely. I mean, mostly on the Mississippi because the Ohio feeds into the Mississippi, mm-hmm. so you can't do one without the other.
Sure.
They were looking at 700% increases in freight prices because there was a lot of barges getting they were getting stuck in the dredged material along the river because it wasn't deep enough for them to go all the way down. So once again, then you have to figure out another way to get those down to the New Orleans port in order to jump them on the oceans. Well, there's only two ways to do that, and that's to rail or truck it. And that's extremely expensive at that kind of distance to send those products down to that port.
We're going to take it.
So there was absolutely a huge disruption. Now, things are starting to get better, but that was a huge issue about a month ago, and they're just now starting to get back on their feet.
We're going to take just a quick break for the news here. David Holt, I hope you'll stay with us, and I hope our listeners will join the conversation as well. Do give us a call if you have a question or comment. The number, 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's @middaymatters. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Labor unions are spending big in Michigan this campaign season to get collective bargaining enshrined in the state's constitution, and that has business fighting back hard.
This would be unprecedented in the country, and we'd really disallow our legislature to deal with issues of labor law.
Business battles unions later today on All Things Considered from NPR News. All Things Considered airs weekday afternoons at 4 on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah DeLeo with WBOI News. Indiana Wesleyan University President Henry Smith will retire next June 30th and become the school's chancellor for 2.5 years. The school announced the transition for Smith on Monday. It also says his last 6 months as president will be spent on sabbatical beginning January 7th. Its Board of Trustees says a 3-man management team will run the university during Smith's sabbatical. Indiana Wesleyan says Smith will focus on international education while chancellor until the end of 2015, which will be shortly after his 65th birthday. It says the enrollment grew during his 7 years as president to nearly 16,000 students. That includes more than 12,000 adults attending classes at branches in Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio, and online. More than 3,000 students are enrolled on the main campus in Marion. A state health official says Indiana now has 11 cases of fungal meningitis linked to a tainted back pain medication. WBOI's Sean Beter has the latest.
State Department of Health spokesman Ken Severson says the latest total is up from 8 known cases previously. There have been no deaths statewide. Indiana's cases involve patients at 6 Indiana health facilities that received a recalled steroid produced by a specialty pharmacy in Massachusetts. Elkhart's OSMC Surgery Center is one of the 6 clinics. CEO Don Hammond says the anxiety of his patients is high as they wait to learn whether they have meningitis. The outbreak has spread to more than 100 people across 9 states. At least 8 have died. For WBOI News, I'm Sean Beter.
An Indiana hog farm tied to a large fish kill would plant more than 500 trees as an air admissions buffer and pay a $5,000 fine under a settlement proposed by the state environmental agency. State officials say the farm sprayed 200,000 gallons of hog manure onto a field upstream of the June 2010 fish kill near the Randolph County town of Ridgeville. An estimated nearly 108,000 fish died in the Mississinewa River and a tributary. The proposed order doesn't blame the farm with 4,000 hogs for the fish kill. Department of Environmental Management spokesman Barry Sneed says the agency cannot discuss the settlement until the farm owner agrees to it. And let's take a quick look at the WBOI weather forecast this afternoon. We can expect sunny skies with a high in the mid-60s. Tonight, showers are likely later on into the evening. We'll have mostly cloudy skies with a low of 42. Looking to Wednesday, showers are likely before 8 a.m., partly sunny with a high near 51 along with some fairly large gusts of wind. And on Wednesday night, mostly clear, we'll have a low around 31. Looking to the later part of the week on Thursday, mostly sunny skies are expected. We'll have a high near 62. This is 89.1 FM WBOI. Now it's back to your host for Midday Matters, Sean Beter.
Fifteen minutes before the top of the hour, this is Midday Matters on 89.1 FM WBOI. I'm your host, Sean Beter, happy to be with you on this Tuesday edition of our program. Joining me, of course, in studio, the usual suspect herself, it's Susan Burns. Thanks for being here, Susan.
With a few extra questions toss in. I'd also like to note I am no relation to Burns Harbor.
Okay.
Whole different crowd.
I thought maybe you were hiding a secret there. Well, of course, our topic on today's program is logistics in the state of Indiana and, of course, in our neck of the woods up here. We do want to hear from you today. If you have a question or comment about logistics in our state and region, give us a call. The number is 260-452-1185. Of course, you can always call us toll-free at 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet. Lots of ways to get a hold of us today, and we certainly hope you do. Joining us on the phone, it's David Holt. He's Vice President of Operations and Business Development at Kinexus Indiana. David, thanks once again for being with us on today's program.
Hey, it's great being here.
And one of the reasons we kind of wanted to jump into this topic is because there's you actually have a summit coming up to talk about a lot of these issues.
Yeah, we're a partner with the Ports of Indiana, and we hold a summit once a year. It's on October 17th, all day, And the summit really is a way to bring in different topics and different speakers to talk about different things that are impacting the logistics industry.
What are some of the big issues on the plate on your plate for the summit this year?
I'd say one of the topic discussions that's obviously it's important to Kinexus is the how do we fund our infrastructure projects in the future? And there's going to actually be a session just on that. And I think that's extremely important because, you know, we have, you know, billions and billions of dollars of infrastructure needs, and we don't have billions and billions of dollars. So how are we innovatively going to make some of these things happen? So that's one example of something that's important to us. They're going to be talking about how we get more kids integrated into a logistics curriculum that we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a session in regard to that. You know, how do we encourage our kids to kind of go into this field and to push them to want to be part of this, you know, part of that work?
It sounds it sounds like just with those two topics, you'll have a full plate.
Yeah.
for sure. Before we go explore a few other corners of the business here, I do want to ask you, I mean, this is a huge question, not just for logistics, but for folks really across the spectrum of industry. The country is facing very tight times right now.
Right.
What are some of the innovations that are they're being batted around to fund new infrastructure projects?
Well, you know, of course, we focus on the federal and the state and the local level. I think one thing that could be looked at on the federal level is should we move away from a gas tax, which is becoming less and less reliable because less people are obviously driving with current gas prices, should we move away from that and move towards a vehicle mileage tax? But the vehicle mileage tax would only be implemented if it protects your privacy, meaning that when you go to the pump, you connect to the pump. The pump then just monitors how many miles you went from the last location to this location, instead of having something on your car that monitors how many miles you go. I think that is much more reasonable. Then the retailer still collects the gas tax just like they do now, and they send it out to the federal government. So that's one innovation that we've talked about that would basically help shore up our funds. The other thing in the short term would be, should we index the gas tax to the rate of inflation from the previous year? If Congress had have done that many years ago, then we would have had plenty of money to build the roads we needed over the years. Now, that's provided that Congress obviously didn't, you know, allocate that money to other uses like they do sometimes when there's surpluses in these different funds on the federal level. But if they would keep it and not use it for diversions, we would have had plenty of money to take care of our, you know, not just our maintenance of our current infrastructure, but also to be able to build new things that are needed, not just in Indiana, but around the nation. So that's a couple things that are innovative on the state level. On the federal level, and that's mostly on the highway area. At the state level, maybe we need to look at, should we take the sales tax that's currently allocated and goes into the general fund? I mean, it's really a user fee. You go there, you're paying for gas. Why are you paying for gas? Because you're using the road. So why shouldn't we use that funding to pay for our roads? That would be $1.2 billion over 2 years, or $600 million a year more for our current roads. That would provide Indiana with really a lot of the money to do a lot of the new projects we need to do and to continue our current maintenance of the projects that we have, you know, already on the books.
It sounds like there's a lot to talk about coming up at the summit here. Of course, we would love to hear some input from our listeners as well. Just about 10 minutes left in this hour. Give us a call and share your thoughts, or if you have a question for David Holt, the number is 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. We are at Midday Matters. And we'll take just a very quick break here, and we'll wrap up our discussion of logistics in Indiana when we come back. Stay with us. This is Midday Matters.
Fresh Air, you'll hear revelations from well-known actors, like Zach Galifianakis on the story behind his last name.
It's actually shortened, Terry. My real last name is Galifianakisberg. That's an exclusive for your show.
Fresh Air, bringing you some of the biggest names in American culture and some of the most difficult to pronounce. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
To maintain a healthy discussion, we suggest a steady diet of Talk of the Nation. We'll nourish your brain with everything from cave diving to dolphin encounters, the rise of China, and the latest shenanigans on Capitol Hill. I'm Neil Conan, your daily recommended dose of news, conversation, and serendipity, Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Indiana Tech Law School, opening in Fort Wayne in fall 2013. Information on admissions and curriculum at www.indianatech.edu/law or 855-TECH-LAW.
Seven minutes before the top of the hour, it's Midday Matters on 89.1 FM. We're talking today with David Holt from Kinexus Indiana about the logistics business in the state of Indiana. And it looks like we have several callers on the line here. We'll do our best to get to everyone as we can. Let's open the phones right now and get to it. We've got Annika on the line. Annika, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon. I just have a comment about the gas tax and the roads, and I have a relative who bought a hybrid, and I don't know if they're bragging or not, but they say in 4,000 miles, they've only filled their car four times.
Wow.
Well, if they're doing that, they're not contributing to the upkeep of the roads, because right now the gas tax is practically nothing that they're paying. So your idea of gathering the mileage at the pump to charge a tax versus gasoline, that might be a better way to go so that you can actually accrue the miles that they're driving. How are you going to collect taxes for electric cars and hybrids when they're not buying gasoline, and that's the basis for our revenue income?
Okay, that's a great question, and we have a solution for that. There should be some system put into place similar to the, you know, when you go to the gas pump and you put your gas money in. If you plug in, then we need to design a system where the retailer, which in this case is the power company, monitors that this is a car and that it went this many miles, right? And that we would charge for this many miles. And in the meantime, before that happens, there should probably be an amount that they're charged just for the electricity that went into that, right, based on how much that they went on the roads, because they are currently not paying for our roads if they're using just the electricity portion of their hybrid. And the legislature, actually, the General Assembly is actually looking into this for the compressed natural gas, liquefied natural gas for electricity. They will eventually, I think, come up with some sort of formula design to make sure that those vehicles, which are obviously causing damage on the road, just like any other cars or trucks are, pay their share of that particular process as well. And so I think you will see activity on that on the federal and the state level over the next few years.
Yeah, until then, though, they're basically driving. They're wearing down our roads. They're being green, but they're wearing down our roads, and they're getting away without having to pay for them.
That is correct.
Yeah. Okay. Just an interesting point.
It sounds like a potentially a very sticky situation as we try to figure out how to solve this issue. Annika, thank you very much for your call. And let's go down the line. We've got, I believe it's Rhea on line 3. Rhea, are you there?
Oh, this is Rita.
Oh, Rita, excuse me.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Go ahead. You're on Midday Matters.
For some time, I've been thinking, too, that the gasoline revenue needs to be tied to the price of the gasoline rather than the number of gallons, because when the price goes up, the gallons go down. People don't use it as much, and the revenue is reduced. And this way, it would be the sales tax that was mentioned. So I just wanted to weigh in on that.
Yeah, there have been discussions about doing that, and that's basing it on a percentage of whatever that price is.
Uh-huh.
The problem with that is that fluctuates greatly, and so it does not allow, you know, like the Indiana Department of Transportation and the state departments of transportation around the country, it doesn't allow them a good indicator of what revenues are going to be coming in, mm-hmm. so it's very hard for them to plan how much money they're actually going to get if you did it that way.
Yeah.
It is a good idea. I think there could be potential for it in the future, but once again, it's more that particular issue is you just don't know exactly what kind of revenues you'll have coming in. Where on the gas tax, because it's based on, you're charged 18.2 cents no matter what, so that doesn't fluctuate. So when you go to the gas pump,
based
you're paying 18.2 cents.
Based
so the question is, the best way to do that is to index the gas tax to the rate of inflation from the previous year,
yeah.
and then that kind of grows with the economy, and it provides enough money and enough stability for you to know what kind of money you're going to need for our roads.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call. Sorry for bungling your name there. David Holt, we have just about 2 minutes left in the program here. I know it's a big question, but let's look ahead now. You know, we've talked about developing educational opportunities along with trying to solve the money problem that, of course, everyone across the nation faces. What's next for Kinexus priority-wise?
Well, one of the main things that we're working on is really at the state level right now, and that's to figure out how to provide incentives to get private sector companies to spend more of their money on capital investment. So what we want to do is incentivize a railroad to put more railroad ties in or to build an intermodal facility, or how do we incentivize a private sector person, say a trucking company that is off the road a little bit, and they're maybe right off of I-69, well, maybe, you know, they've got this really old road that the city can't take care of. How do we incentivize them to want to put that road in themselves instead of, you know, the public sector just taking care of? So we're going to be, you know, there's a lot of discussions at the General Assembly of trying to do that, and I think that'll be a key priority. And the other priority is obviously getting intermodal rail into Indiana, and to try to really, you know, get more of these air cargo flights coming in and out of Indiana.
Where do you see, in just a few seconds here, where do you see the most growth going ahead in the logistics business?
Well, there's no doubt that it's been growing and it will continue to grow, and that's, you know, moving to value-added service. So manufacturers are getting rid of more and more of their functions, and they're outsourcing it to what are called third-party logistics providers. And these third-party logistics providers then do what a manufacturer used to do, but they do the logistics for the manufacturer. And in essence, usually they're cheaper and they're more efficient because they specialize in it where a manufacturer doesn't. So that's really where the growth of the industry has been. That's why you've seen a lot of these distribution facilities pop up, you know, up in the Fort Wayne area and here in central Indiana and other places, because there are more and more of these kind of firms, and we expect that trend to continue for the next few years, especially when companies are starting to insource more, meaning that they're not sending stuff to India or China because of the really high cost of gasoline. They're now starting to bring the stuff back home again, and of course, then they still don't want to do the transportation, so they're outsourcing it.
David Holt is Vice President of Operations and Business Development at Kinexus Indiana. David, thank you very much for being with us today. Susan, thank you. And thanks to you for listening and for joining us in the conversation. This is WBOI Fort Wayne. Have a good day.
From WH.